With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We're all the way into southwest Oklahoma from a harvest standpoint.
Tim Lust is CEO for the National Sorghum Producers.
Started out with a really good crop in the Rio Grande Valley, Coastal Bend, and all the way up the coast of Texas. We're blessed that it was an early crop this year, and so we're able to get that out before they had a tropical storm hurricane that certainly created some challenges. So above average crop in South Texas, and so that part's positive. Move into southwest Oklahoma, been a lot more drought there and tougher situations. I think when we look at the rest of the country, you know, certainly I think sorghum looked really good early, went through a really challenging time period 20, 30 days ago, but sorghum's tough, held on. Got some rains here in the last week that will certainly help. It's not going to be a great national average crop, but, you know, I'm not ready yet to say that it's maybe quite as bad as USDA yield estimates were a couple of days ago. A lot of sorghum in Kansas that still, you know, it really needed a rain. It got a little bit of rain. We'll see how it responds in terms of things. But overall, probably national average, a little bit below average crop, but certainly not as bad as what we've seen in some years.
You can grow it, but you have to sell it.
Demand is really good. When we look at not only the sales going into May, June, July, August, but also the shipments. We have had boats just constantly at Corpus Christi and at Houston loading sorghum as soon as it basically comes out of the field and headed to China. So certainly that is a bright spot. Basis has been very strong on the Gulf Coast, and it has pulled the grain to market immediately, and the boats are being loaded. And realistically, give us another 20, 30 days here, and the South Texas sorghum will just be gone. Not only will it have been produced, but it'll been loaded on a boat and on the water and on its way to China.
A drought in Central America made shipping through the Panama Canal a challenge. Is that better?
Maybe not perfect, but much better in terms of that. You know, don't do a lot in the container markets, but a little bit. And container prices had gone down. Now they've kind of came back up a little bit. But overall, vast majority of ours goes by bulk boat. And that's certainly the logistics on that are a little bit better than they were the last year.
Many weeks, the only export buyer is China.
Well, I think, you know, there's to pretend there's not uncertainty today in terms of where that might be from trade would not be fair. By the same token, there's no question that the demand is there. There's no question that, you know, they're our number one customer and really enjoy our product and have been good. But the trade issues are very unknown. So I don't think it matters, you know, certainly. Discussions in Washington, D.C. right now related to trade in China. Certainly, you know, as you look at next administration, no matter which party wins, there's questions there. So have to continue to watch that and be heavily involved in that. But from our standpoint, certainly have appreciated, you know, the fact that they have been a dominant buyer of U.S. sorghum over the last several years, while clearly also understanding the challenges there of having a customer that's using that much of your product, no matter whether they're domestic or international.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
Back in my early youth, when I was trying to find out how to trade, what to trade, analysis, I had a friend of mine from Merrill Lynch that put me with a broker named John Gambino. He was the senior technical metal analyst for Merrill Lynch. I got to spend a few weeks with him, and he was a very big advocate of the Elliott Way.
The Elliott Way? Chris Swift is founder of Swift Trading Company in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Prior to all of the computerized and algorithmic trading, we all had to think on our own feet. We all had to do things that were nothing but human interaction. Now we have computers that can use alternative or alternative information. They can do all different kinds of things. The speed in which they can trade and pull and inquire bids to the market is just phenomenal. So there are some differences between back then when humans were only participating in it, and now we have the computers. Long story short, the Elliott Wave theory is based upon cyclical production of either a company or a commodity, and it tends to run the cycles to it. And through the five waves up, we tend to, in this particular case of the cattle market, we've gone through multiple different fundamental scenarios that has produced a jump in price, correction in prices sometimes, and then further jumping of it. But each one of those different cycles that we hit within that bull market contends to weaken it. Because what are we doing? We're trying to bring in more inventory. A higher price begins to excel people to go out there and make some of that money that's out there. So we see that when now that is met and we begin to see where we're creating greater supplies than what we thought, prices begin to turn back down again. So I have used it over and over again, and my real success to it from it probably is it's kept me from going broke. It may not have made me any more money, but just following a few of the rules and kind of believing that some of it is psychological to the production of different commodities kind of helps me to form ideas. And from those ideas, I get a risk to reward relationship on some of the trades that I recommend, and then we just see what happens from there.
There's a lot of volatility right now in the markets. So what do you focus on?
What we're looking at is we're managing risk. We know that price risk is inherent in commodity production. There are certain things we can do nothing about. I can't control the weather, floods, droughts, political unrest. I can't change any of that. So what we do is we prepare ourselves, and we look at those prices, and as you stated, we can look out, and today could be the highest or the lowest price, or the future could be the highest or lowest prices. And so when we view where do I want to procure inventory, well, I want to procure it at the lowest price. Is that today or is that out into the future? And if it is into the future there, how much do I have to pay for it? How much cheaper is it there? And can I get it from point A to point B for the same amount of money? So those are the type aspects that we're looking at when there is where do we see the prices the lowest? Where do we see prices the highest? And then we can move to try to obtain those prices. By doing that, we are fixing a specific level that we're willing to pay for or willing to market at.
And so why is Swift primarily focused on cattle?
And we have become what we consider cattlemen. We generally, when we go after clientele, it's in the cattle business. And the one thing that I learned over the years that if you're going to be successful in something, you need to, and especially in the commodities, you need to pick a market, learn there everything there is to know about that market, and then you can go after clientele in that market.
It's agriculture today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Soybeans, very similar chart that we just saw with corn for the good to excellent rating of the crop.
Fleming Gibson is acting director of the National Ag Statistics Service's crops branch.
This year we're at 68% good to excellent. Compared with last year, we were 54% good to excellent. So looking at maturity of the soybean crop, looks very in line for the prior 5 years. So digging into the numbers on the table here, what do we have? So looking at this, we have for planted acres, we're at 87,100,000 planted acres. That's up 1.2% from the previous estimate. And also just numerically wise, that's up about 1 million acres from the prior estimate. Harvest, very similar changes, obviously, and up as well as 1 million acres from the previous estimate. Looking at yield, we are up 5.1%, up 2.6 bushels to a record high yield of 53.2 bushels per acre. And looking at the production estimate, that comes out to be up 10.2% from the previous year and 4.9 billion bushel, which is also a record high production. Looking at acreage, as you can tell, this kind of gives you our last 10 years of acres, very similar to the corn, what we were looking at, the line color and all is the same. Moving over to yield, obviously we talked about the U.S. is a record from, and you can see it sits slightly above the trend line and the line moving upward. So let's dig into the individual states. What do we know at the individual states? And we're comparing these against the previous year. So obviously, we've got similar to the other map that I showed you about pound signs and the coloration of the map. You can real quickly see we're expecting record high yields in Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Mississippi, and Ohio, in addition to the U.S. So how does our production estimate lay out? As we talked about, the production estimate is a record high this season, and it's 3% above the previous record, which was 2021. So how do the NAS estimate compare with the industry expectations? Be a little bit on the top end of their expectations, a little bit on the top end of the range.
We don't talk about it a whole lot, but what about barley?
So for barley, updating barley, we're down 5.9% from our previous estimate for acres, 6.7% for harvested. Yields up 6.6% from our earlier forecast. It's also up 9.3% from the prior year, and that will actually put us at a record high barley forecasted yield.
Expectations for barley. What about expectations for oats?
So oats, kind of an unusual thing that we're seeing today. We're up 2.1% on our planted acres. We're up 3.2% for our harvested acres, 5.9% on our overall yield compared to our previous forecast. We're up 9.5% compared to the previous year. This is a record high yield for oats at the U.S. level, as well as in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And all of that is obviously bringing our production up to 67 million bushels.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Yeah, I've certainly got to spend some time in India with the USDA, USTR delegation earlier in the year.
Tim Luss, CEO, National Sorghum Producers.
Been a lot of places in my career, but I had not been to India. And just eye-opening to be on the ground there. Of course, everybody knows about the huge population, but reminded me a lot of China 25 years ago in terms of where things are at there, with the one exception. Even more sorghum utilization in India, particularly for human consumption. You walk in a grocery store or supermarket, and there's just dozens of sorghum products on the shelf. And so certainly a product that is heavily used in human consumption. Certainly when you look at opportunities in the biofuels market, really just starting ethanol industry in India that just has great potential. And then tremendous growth in poultry within India. So just a lot of positives about what the possibilities are there. Challenges are today, we're locked out of that market with a 50% tariff to come in. So work to do there on the trade side to get access. Work to do there on the education side to make sure that they know what sorghum is. A fair amount of the sorghum grown in their country is high tannin sorghum, so obviously something that just from an education standpoint have to talk about the differences there with U.S. sorghum versus some of their traditional sorghums. But a country that certainly knows a lot about sorghum, so just one that we're heavily focused on. I don't think that we're alone in that, obviously. Competitors around the world are aware of what the opportunities are in India over the next several years as well. Frankly, they've done a tremendous job of being pretty well self-reliant for a number of years. But I think for all sorts of reasons, we see that changing and see the opportunities coming on how India can be very important.
But high tannin and sorghum and food grade, how does that work together?
Even that definition, Tony, 30 years ago, I think you and I had this image in our mind that that was a white tan plant sorghum, very specific. And it still is for the flour industry. But the crazy part about it today is the sorghum my wife and I ate this morning was red, and it's really good. And I think we're learning a lot about what that means and what the opportunities are. And so I think from that standpoint, when we look forward, there's opportunities there. I think, the other side of that is the other trip I took this year was to Brazil, and that's a huge contrast, Part of the reason we were in Brazil is the same companies that do research in the U.S. do research in Brazil. So as sorghum makers grow in Brazil, we see positives from an R&D standpoint. By the same token, we've seen the competition from Brazil in soybeans and in cotton and now in corn. And, you know, on the sorghum front, 5 years ago, they were number 10 in sorghum production. And now, depending on how you look at the numbers this year, they're either number two or number three. And if you look at projections, they could be the largest sorghum producing country in the world in 2 or 3 years. And so certainly wanted to go try to understand what was going on in Brazil. Obviously, they continue to add production in Brazil and continue to increase acres. And so, that was one of those fact-finding tours that was trying to understand what are the benefits of U.S. growers and what's the positives from a research side. And then, you know, what's the reality of what competition might look like there going forward as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
Alfalfa hay, obviously no change on the harvested acres from the previous forecast, no change from the previous season.
Expectations from the latest USDA crop report. Fleming Gibson, acting director of the crops branch for the National Ag Statistics Service.
Expecting a 5% increase in the overall yield, which converts into a 4.9% production increase. Other hay, no change from our previous forecast, down 3.5% from last year. However, yield up 11.9%, which translates into an 8.1% increase in production for us.
And in a way, ties into this next one, the effect of the cash market. Elliot Dennis, University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
Once again, we're starting to feel these kind of slowing sentiments already for several weeks. So last time, we were talking about the 500 to 600 pound steers in Nebraska, and we were at that, you know, 350, a little above the 350 mark, and now we're down about the 335. And so really we've started to cool off there. And a similar sentiment has started in the 700 to 800 pounds or yearlings. Over this last really week or so, we've dropped about $15 to $18 per hundred weight. So at least in Nebraska and even in other places, Washington, South Dakota, Kansas, this tends to be kind of a similar trend. We know if there's a sharp movement down in the cash market or in the futures market, generally there's going to be some pull down in the cash market. If not, basis will just be extremely large. It was already large, and so there was some movement down. So it is having an effect, and it's kind of these growing fears with consumers that potentially they need to start making different choices at the grocery store.
And what about exports?
May have some slowing down in the domestic market. The export market, at least the June export numbers came out, and it appears that we were up about one in the, almost 2% on exports. But really, I think that number is a little bit deceiving because our major players have started to make different decisions. So we look at China. They are arguably they balance between second and fourth largest export partner for beef, depending upon the month. But really, they were down from 48 million pounds to 36 million pounds in the same month of June. And really kind of the big thing is, you know, they've started to go down significantly from where they were at in 2023, about 15% lower this year to date than they were last year. So there is softening on that market. We picked it up on other aspects with kind of our diverse market portfolio. But things such as, you know, not meeting SBS or phytosanitary regulations can really hit us. The big news that came out of Nebraska this week was cold service company or cold storage company out of Grand Island, Nebraska, was essentially denied access into China due to alleged, even though there's been no official reports, a potential issue with ractopamine, which is banned in a lot of countries, including China. And so there are some, you know, potential headwinds, but kind of the bright spot there is that the dollar is weakening a little bit, down from to about 103, down from about 110 earlier in the year. And so that essentially what a weakening dollar does is it makes it a little bit easier to export. And so there could be some, even though we might have a little bit of a struggling domestic market going forward, that in the future, the export market might be able to pick up some of that that lost value in the domestic market.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We started out a little bit better at the beginning of the season, but it's kind of trickled down from where we started out at the beginning of the season.
Acting Director of the National Ag Statistics Service's Crops Branch, Fleming Gibson, on cotton.
We're currently at 45% good to excellent season. Looking at the overall maturity of the crop and how it's progressing through the season, very similar to our other years. So digging into the numbers for our table here, obviously we set a planted forecast back in June, and this is we're updating that planted acreage forecast. We're coming down 4.3%, which will bring us to 11.1 million acres. This is our first harvested forecast of the season. Obviously, in August is the first time that we actually are able to put out a harvested estimate. You can see we're up 34.1% from the prior year, following that up with our yield estimate coming in at 840 pounds to the acre. That's down 6.6%. However, the combination does mean that production will actually come in at 15.1 million bales, up 25.2% from the prior year. You come in and look at cotton acres, very similar to years we've seen in recent past. There is a rather large disparity between the planted and harvested acres. Looking at yield, we obviously talked about it's not a record, but it is, you know, on the slightly below the trend line, but still towards the top of the chart, as you can see. Overall, it is the lowest yield since 2021. So we've looked at it on a national level. Let's dig into the state level a little bit and look at the individual states. This gives you a rough idea of where all the states are at this point in the season and what we're forecasting for them. Obviously, you've got Texas and Georgia, Arkansas and Mississippi, some of our more major states in the program. When you shift over and look at how the production lays out against prior years, you can see kind of more in our normal range of production where it kind of goes up and down a little bit on that end and kind of just well within the range that we've been following as of late in the last 10 years. So how does this compare against the industry expectations? Maybe a little bit on the low side for this one. Expectations that are out there. Peanuts were up 2.4%. From our prior forecast in June, 2.5% for harvested acres. Our yield is up 4%, coming in at 3,890 pounds to the acre, which is overall going to increase 15.2% for production. Price down just slightly from our previous forecast for both planted and harvested. Our overall acres for rice are actually up 1.6%. For planted compared to last season, 1.5% harvested. Yield down just 0.3 of a percent, and overall production will be increasing 1.1% for the season. Sorghum, we're seeing a reduction in the planted acreage forecast that we set in June, down 1.6%, also which corresponds to 105,000 acres from our previous estimate. Harvest is down 2.1%. Our forecasted harvest for the season is down 2.1% from our prior forecast, which translates into 115,000 acres. Yield is up 0.9 bushels, almost a bushel from last year, which translates into 1.7%. However, overall production is down 12.3%.
It's Agriculture Today.